Today, will the Fed stoke inflation and drive an even greater wedge between the rich and poor? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where we've noticed posts covering finance and property news. Well, this is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, go across to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, while covering commodities and crypto along the way. We do this to keep track of what's going on in today's complex market, so expect lots of data, not superficial waffle. You've been warned. If that's not for you, then look elsewhere for more cute cats. We are, it seems, at the pointy end of the Fed's decision to cut rates when they meet next week, as US shares rallied on renewed expectations that they could opt for a half percentage point cut. Futures actually have it 50-50 for a half or a quarter point cut, but everyone is now expecting the first of several ahead. Former New York Fed President Bill Dudley said late on Thursday that there was a strong case for a 50 basis point interest rate cut, but Wells Fargo economists said they expect a 25 point cut next week, though they were reluctant to close the door on a half point move. But TD Securities thinks a 50 point cut would be premature. Between this week's CPI report showing unexpected strength in core consumer prices, the upside surprise in the producer price index, and the labour market that continues to steadily add jobs, there is enough strength to suggest aggressively easing monetary policy is not yet warranted, they said. Our view remains that a 25 basis point cut next week is the most likely outcome, with two more cuts coming by the end of the year. Also on Friday, a survey showed that US consumer sentiment improved in September as inflation subsided, although Americans remain cautious ahead of the November presidential election. While renewed hopes for a bigger cut boosted large cap indices on Friday, the optimism seemed more evident in the Russell 2000 Small Cap Index, which rose 2.5% on the day and 4.4% on the week. Smaller companies are more sensitive to rate changes as they depend more on borrowed money and floating rate loans. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.72% to 41,393. The S&P 500 gained 0.54% to 5,626. That's just 1% shy of its July record, while the Nasdaq Composite gained 0.65% to 17,681. The potential for a large cut helped drive utilities, materials, and industrials higher. In fact, 24 of the Dow's 30 components were higher, but techs mostly lagged. All three major US benchmark indices ended close to roughly two-week highs and logged solid weekly gains. For the week, the S&P 500 rose 4.02%, the Nasdaq climbed 5.95%, with both marking their biggest weekly percentage gains since early November. The Dow added 2.6% for the week. Adobe finished up 8.5% after the Photoshop maker forecast fourth quarter earnings below estimates, and Boeing shares sank 3.7% after its US West Coast factory workers walked off the job early on Friday as they overwhelmingly objected a contract deal. Chinese e-commerce firm PDD Holdings fell 2.4% after the Biden administration said it was moving to curb low-value shipments entering the US duty-free under the $800 de minimis threshold. And Uber shares rallied 6.4% after the ride-hailing platform said it would bring autonomous ride-hailing to Austin, Texas, and Atlanta in partnership with Alphabet's Waymo. The volatility index, which measures the implied volatility of the S&P 500 options, was down 2.99% to 16.56, and the US dollar index futures was down 0.22% to 101.12. Nvidia's huge stock rally is still exerting an outsized influence over the S&P 500 index, reinforcing concerns that broader markets could be hurt if the chip-making giant's fortunes were to turn. This year's 140% surge in the shares of Nvidia, whose chips are seen as the gold standard in AI applications, has accounted for about a quarter of the S&P 500's 17% gain so far. Nvidia showed its powerful hold over Wall Street on Wednesday when the stock rallied 8.2% on reported strong demand for the company's chips. That helped drive the S&P 500 to its biggest intraday upswing in nearly 2 years. The index reversed a 1.6% loss to end the day up 1.1% then. The S&P 500 has struggled to make headway this year on Nvidia's down days, eking out gains only 13% of the time when the chip maker's shares are closing weaker. This year, the index has failed to rise more than 1% on any day when Nvidia's shares ended lower. In 2020, there were just 13 such instances. Microsoft, Apple, and Nvidia have a combined weighting of nearly 20% on the S&P 500, although shares in the first two have gained far less this year than Nvidia. Traders are keeping a close eye on Nvidia's options, by the way, which have played a major role in boosting recent moves. Nvidia recently accounted for about 22% of the overall volume of individual stock options traded daily, up from around 5% at the start of the year, making it the most actively traded stock in the options market on most days. Nvidia's gains are amplified when traders rush into upside call options. When buying of those options surge, market makers who sell those contracts are on the hook to buy and deliver more Nvidia shares at the agreed price, leaving them short gamma in options parlance. Tesla, another favorite of non-professional traders, displayed similar characteristics a few years ago when the options market amplified the electric vehicle maker's stock swings, but AI seems to have stirred the imagination of investors even more than the EVs. And elsewhere, OpenAI's new financing round is expected to come in the form of convertible notes, with its $150 billion valuation contingent upon whether the ChatGPT maker can upend its corporate structure and remove a profit cap for investors. The details of the conditions of the $6.5 billion funding, which have not been previously reported, shows how far OpenAI, the most valuable AI startup in the world, has come from a research-based non-profit and the structural changes it's making to make it attractive to more investments. To fund its expensive pursuit of artificial general intelligence, AGI, or AI, that surpasses human intelligence. The outsized funding round has seen strong investor demand and could be finalized in the next couple of weeks, given the rapid growth of OpenAI's revenue. The company has also held discussions with lawyers about turning its non-profit structure to a for-profit benefit corporation, similar to what its rivals, such as Anthropic and XAI, are using. Now, aggressive rate cut bets have helped fuel a Treasury rally, with the 10-year yield down some 80 basis points since the start of July to around 3.657%, near its lowest level since June 2023. The 2-year is now down to 3.587% and is out of inversion. But if the Fed continues to project significantly less easing than the market does for this year, bonds will have to reprice, pushing yields higher. Rising yields could in turn pressure stock valuations, which are already high relative to history. The S&P 500 was last trading at a forward price earnings ratio of 21 times expected 12 months earnings, compared with its long-term average of 15.7. Sure, the labour market is clearly weakening, but in reality, this is actually what needs to happen. Short-term pain is needed to reconcile the great imbalances created by decades of free money. The alternative is intractable inflation that renders the middle class into penury. Recession or not, the truth is there is no chance the economy and earnings growth will live up to Wall Street's expectations. The EPS for the S&P 500 is projected to grow by 15% next year, and the forward multiple on those earnings is 21 times, while the 10-year average is just 17.9. There is actually credible evidence that GDP and earnings growth will end up being much lower in 2025, and we're not just talking about the potential election chaos and the expiration of the massive Trump tax cuts scheduled at the end of next year. The ABC presidential debate lowered the odds of a red sweep, which is necessary to keep the tax cuts in place. And also elsewhere, Fed Governor Chris Waller said recently, the time has come to lower the target rate for the federal funds rate at our meeting. And he also said he was open to a series of rate cuts larger than 25 basis points if the data weakened further. The stock market had recently had its worst week in about a year at that point. Therefore, the Fed felt compelled to unleash its plunge protection team. So the Fed proves over and over again that it is in the business of bailing out asset prices and banks. It only really pretends to care about fighting inflation and defending the middle class. The truth is, jobs are actually not being lost yet. We still have positive net new job creation in the US that is commensurate with labor force growth. So therefore, there is absolutely no need to rush into rate-cutting cycles now, and certainly not one with oversized rate cuts. The second and most important point is that inflation has already wiped out most of America's standard of living. Therefore, the aggregate level of prices needs to decline, not just go up more slowly to a level that has destroyed the purchasing power of consumers, but the Fed seems set instead on inflation, and this will simply protect the rich and crush the poor some more. We should ask, what is their real agenda? And by the way, at the close in Toronto, the S&P TSX Composite rose 0.4% to a new all-time high, once again reacting to the lower rate expectations. After 3 weeks of consolidation, gold futures moved decisively upwards, hitting a record above $2,606 per troy ounce on Friday. Gold prices were up around 3% from the beginning of the week and 25% since the beginning of the year, well ahead of the major stock market indices and against the general decline in base metals. The decline in bond interest rates is returning some of the appeal of gold to retail investors. From this perspective, it's worth being prepared that the expected Fed rate cut next week could reverse the trend. In 2015, we saw a similar situation, but in the other direction. Elsewhere, oil prices fell on Friday as US Gulf of Mexico crude production resumed following Hurricane Francine, and data showed a weekly rise in US rig counts. Brent futures crude settled at $72.13 a barrel, while US West Texas Intermediate crude settled at $69.27 a barrel. For the week, all futures finished higher following those sharp storm-related increases early in the week that broke a streak of declines. Crude prices also took a hit from the US rig count from energy service group Baker Hughes, which reported the biggest weekly rise in oil and natural gas rigs in a year. Both the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries and the International Energy Agency lowered their growth demand forecast this week, citing economic struggles in China, the world's largest oil importer. But US oil stockpiles also rose across the board last week as crude imports grew and exports dipped, while fuel demand weakened, according to the Energy Information Administration. Over in Europe, European stocks rounded off the week on a positive note, supported by technology, real estate, and mining shares, while investors shifted their focus to the US Federal Reserve ahead of the long-awaited monetary easing. Technology and real estate gave the markets the biggest boost, followed by miners that advanced 1.3% as copper prices hit a two-week high on buying ahead of a Chinese holiday and amid stimulus hopes. The Pan-European Stock 600 Index was up 0.7% to 505.96 points on the day, while notching up gains of more than 1% for the week. German shares outperformed European peers with a nearly 1% jump, boosted by a rise in shares in Siemens Energy and SAP. Germany is headed towards a recession, and even recent policy moves by the ECB may not be enough to avert it, according to analysts at Nomura, who downgraded their outlook for Germany's economy, projecting a three-quarter-long recession, resulting in a 0.4% decline in overall output. At the core of Germany's economic challenges are long-standing structural concerns that have worsened in the face of current economic headwinds. Germany's reliance on its manufacturing sector, coupled with its exposure to global trade cycles, has made the economy particularly vulnerable to external disruptions. This dependency is most apparent with its trade relationships with China, which has seen significant fluctuations as global demand weakens. With fewer working-age individuals supporting a growing number of retirees, the economy faces structural constraints on long-term growth. Those demographic issues, combined with Germany's reliance on manufacturing, have significantly lowered the threshold for any economic downturn to result in a full-blown recession, they said. Official data on industrial production paints a similarly bleak picture. Over the past 18 months, Germany's industrial output has sharply declined, and unlike other Eurozone economies, there has been no clear sign of a turnaround. France's CAC 40, though, rose 0.4% after consumer prices in the region's second largest economy rose 2.2% year over year in August, in line with preliminary readings. Autos were the top gainers among sectors, jumping 1.6% to log their best day in over a month. After the European Central Bank lowered its deposit rate to 3.5% on Thursday, policymakers do not see an interest rate cut in October, barring a major deterioration in the outlook for growth. The war against inflation is largely won, which enabled the ECB to deliver the rate cut. Inflation in the Eurozone has dropped to 2.2%, close to the target of 2%, and the ECB updated inflation forecasts were unchanged from June, with inflation expected to average 2.5% in 2024 and 2.2% in 2025. At the close in London, the FTSE was 0.39% higher, with the best performer of the session, Fresenal, up 5.67%. The worst performers for the session were J. Sainsbury's, which fell 2.03%, and Tesco, which was down 1.22% on consumer spending worries. The pound US dollar was unchanged to 1.31, while the euro US dollar was up 1.1075. In Asia, most Asian stocks rose on Friday as the focus turned to that Federal Reserve interest rate cut, with Hong Kong markets leading gains on bargain buying into local technology heavyweights. Japanese stocks, though, lagged their regional peers after seeing wild swings this week amid soft inflation signals and hawkish comments from the Bank of Japan. A Bank of Japan meeting next week is also in focus. Japan's Nikkei 225 and Topix indices fell about 0.9% each on Friday, lagging their regional peers, with a muted end to the week after logging wild swings as investors weighed some soft signals on inflation and those hawkish comments from Bank of Japan officials. The officials warned that the central bank will likely raise interest rates higher in tandem with stronger inflation, but soft producer price index inflation somewhat undermined their messaging. The Bank of Japan is set to meet next week, although investors uncertain over another rate hike from the bank. Japanese consumer inflation data is also on tap next week. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index was the best performer in Asia on Friday, extending a rebound into a third session as traders bought into heavy discounted local internet stocks. But Chinese markets were much less positive, with the Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite indices rising marginally from more than 7-month lows that they hit earlier in the week. Sentiment towards China remains strained following a string of middling economic readings from the country for August. The prospect of more US trade restrictions also weighed. India's Nifty 50 index raced to a record high on Thursday, but eased back slightly on Friday. Indian stocks have outperformed most of their global peers in recent weeks amid persistent optimism over Indian economic growth. In Australia, Australian shares extended gains on Friday, but stopped short of a closing high as a drag on banks offset a strong push in mining stocks as commodity prices rose. The benchmark ASX 200 was up 0.3% to 8,099, bringing weekly gains to 1.1%. The index climbed as high as 8,143, just 5 points away from a record high set in August before losing steam. The All Ordinaries lifted 0.4%. 4 out of the 11 sectors of the ASX ended in the green, with natural resources doing the heavy lifting. Gold miners were a standout as the prospect of lower interest rates in the US next week boosted prices of the precious metal to an all-time high on Friday. West African Resources and Perseus Mining soared by more than 10% to $1.525 and $2.59 respectively. Evolution Mining jumped nearly 7% to $4.32. Hopes of fresh stimulus in China boosted iron ore prices, pushing shares in mining giants higher. BHP lifted 2% to $39.60, and Rio Tinto advanced 0.9% to $111.42. Fortescue powered up 5% to $17.50. Likewise, a rally in oil prices due to output disruptions in the US Gulf of Mexico, where Hurricane Francine forced producers to evacuate platforms, bolstered energy producer with Santos up 0.7% to $6.98. Woodside added 1.4% to $24.25 as its US oil production facility remained shut down due to the storm. Financials were the biggest laggard, though, despite starting the session on the front foot as investors booked profits ahead of a strong week marked by fresh peaks in Commonwealth Bank and Macquarie Group. National Australia Bank shed 1.2% to $38.28. Commonwealth Bank lost 0.9% to $141.65. And ANZ shed off 0.5% to $31.15. In corporate news, shares in toll road group Atlas Arteria rallied 2% to $5.01 after starting a compensation claim against France for a new truck tax. And Naomi Cotton jumped 4.4% after Singapore-based Olam Agri sweetened its takeover bid to 75 cents a share from 70. Naomi Cotton shareholder Harvest Lane has backed the revised bid. The Aussie was at 67.05 cents against the US dollar and 51.09 against the British pound, while the Australian two-year Treasury was down to 3.54% and the 10-year was at 3.872. Over in crypto, in the past week, the world's flagship cryptocurrency Bitcoin staged an increase of more than 10%, rising from $53,490 to $60,174 as I record this. According to a recent tweet published by Sentiment, on-chain data aggregator, Bitcoin mining wallets have been on a strong decline since the first half of 2024. The same has been happening to the Ethereum mining supply as well. Sentiment's analysts say that after the recent mild rebound faced by Bitcoin, once the combined supplies of Bitcoin and Ethereum miners start growing again, it could be interpreted as a strong signal the next bull run is approaching. Well, we'll see about that. But Jamie Coutts, chief crypto analyst at Real Vision, has taken to his account on the X platform to warn that big holders in Australia over the Orwellian legislation that may include them as potential law violators. Coutts shared a tweet published by writer and journalist Alex James about the recent legislation passed in Australia. The analyst referred to it as Orwellian since it warns about serious harm that can allegedly be caused in certain aspects of public life, both towards other citizen elements of the local state system. These cases can be classified as defamation. Alex James stated the same thing in his tweet. Serious harm is harm to public confidence in the banking system. If you're not confident in the banking system, you're spreading misinformation. Elsewhere, MicroStrategy co-founder Michael Saylor has recently taken to X to share his keynote speech at the H.C. Wainwright Annual Global Investment Conference, in which he talked about the transformation from a Bitcoin skeptic to a fervent supporter of the flagship crypto. The speech resonated with many Bitcoin enthusiasts, but not with Peter Schiff, a longtime Bitcoin critic. In response to Saylor's expose, Schiff accused the MicroStrategy co-founder of misleading his audience with false promises about Bitcoin. The Gold Bug states that Saylor's portrayal of the Bitcoin journey ultimately leads to substantial losses. In truth, the Bitcoin journey is not quite as he describes. It begins with a sucker and ends with heavy losses, Schiff wrote. He has also challenged Saylor to debate. Again, Saylor mentions me, but won't debate me, he remarked. Well, standing back, there are so many uncertainties in the markets at the moment. One thing is for sure, that's more volatility. The Fed next week will definitely move markets one way or the other. And more broadly, there is significant uncertainty ahead of the US election. So I think markets will continue on their wild ride. And by the way, I don't think that the AI story is over on one hand, but neither do I think the current valuations that are held among many crypto stocks make a lot of sense. And if they do ease back, that would be enough to move markets down too. So the bottom line is simply this: hang on to your hats. The next month or two will continue to be volatile in the extreme. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.